When does Oklahomans for Indian Opportunity come in this story? Did it come before you went to Washington?
Yes, oh yeah.
Didn't you organize it?
Yes.
All right.
Well, it came out of my experience integrating Lawton for African Americans.
Okay, and out of that integration,
I learned some techniques,
In Norman came Oklahomans for Indian Opportunity. What was that about and why was it formed?
We had heard 75% of our children were dropping out of school in the western side of Oklahoma. So we said, why is that? They must feel some form of discrimination, so we've got to figure out how we can help them, work with them. Our first attempt was to look at our children, and we interviewed them. When we interviewed high school kids, if they made it to high school, they couldn't tell you how they made it, what they went through to get there. So we invited younger children, and they could tell you, said, well, we can't make straight A's. They believe they couldn't make A's. And we said, well, that young woman sitting next to you can. But the way they were talked to by their teachers, and I don't think the teachers intended it to be, but some way they picked up negative energy.
Well, isn't it true that some teachers would call the Indian children squaws?
Yeah.
Actually use Indian names?
Yes.
To make them feel inferior?
Chief, or, yeah.
Right. So then the young Indian children saw themselves as the whites saw them.
Yes. And that was the difference. When I say it was passive aggression, that was harder to deal with. And how do we help change that? So what we did, I visited all the schools and took books. There weren't that many books about Indians, but there were some really great books to the school's library. We'd give them a gift of books, and I would talk about, now everybody should learn because this tribe, whichever the major tribe was where I was, is here, and said, you ask your Indian friends what they know about their tribe. If they don't know, then you go and read that book. And said, you Indian kids better know about your culture and your tribe, because your friends are going to be asking you about your tribe. Just doing that and paying attention. The superintendents were embarrassed. We came over in eastern Oklahoma, and they had a young, one of the major tribes, I think he was a Choctaw, and they had a big Indian headdress, which was totally inappropriate for the tribe, but he didn't know. The young man was embarrassed to death. But that's the kinds of things we did at first, and said, okay, that if you do something in your own community or in your clubs that you organize or do something in school, then the group can pick someone to go to OU, and we will have OU Day. The Lieutenant Governor, George Nye, would come, and we made it an Indian Appreciation Day and give them little certificates because they'd done something in their own communities, and recognizing that and exposing them to the campus and having people talk to them about college. And it seemed to work. Well, it didn't work the first time because we said anybody could join that club. So we made it exclusively Indian club. Then that worked. We weren't afraid to make mistakes because there wasn't any literature to go by or to use. So it worked. That was our first project, and we organized the western side of the state. We went to each of the communities where the large Indian population and organized that. And then we took on commodities. So many people were on commodities, particularly over in eastern Oklahoma. And we organized these women to make a cookbook of how to improve what you could add to the commodity to make it more.
And why don't you explain commodities?
Commodities were food that people that were low-income people could ask for them if they qualified for their income level.
And what was it?
Cheese, butter. It was great agriculture products that were overproduced. Cheese, big old wonderful cheese and butter. But there was canned meats that turned people off, so that was what they had to work on, how to change that meat into some more attractive.
So you were able to come up with recipes to make it tastier.
So that organized the parents a little bit, too. And then we started a pig farm, trying to look at economics. We organized the western side of the state and came over to the eastern side of the state. And at that time, the BIA, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, appointed their leader. Oh, we were so shocked because we'd been for 20 years or so electing our own, fighting about it, but we elected our own chairman and chief, whatever term. So they were shocked to find that out and immediately turned it around. We got in a bit of trouble because I found out the members of the Congress also, what district they were in, would help choose with the Bureau of Indian Affairs the leader. I didn't even know that, but in letters that Fred got afterwards in his papers in Oklahoma University, that we read some of those letters at how we were coming in here, and some people over in eastern Oklahoma called us communists.
Yeah.
because we were organizing the kids. We had youth groups, and it was just wonderful. Then after we went to Washington, we had Sarge Shriver down. We had Fritz Mondale, Senator Mondale. We had, head of the Health and Human Services for the administration. Anyway, we had great national people come down, and that gave them more confidence. And then Bobby Kennedy came down. We told the kids at the school that they could invite one or two of their fellow classmates to come, so give them prestige in their school, because everybody wanted to come and see Bobby Kennedy. So we decided that since we learned how to work over here in Eastern Oklahoma, we should have a statewide organization. So we organized the first statewide organization for Indian Opportunity.
OIO, as it became known. Mm-hmm. Does that still exist today?
No.
But you did a tremendous amount of work through that.
It just was marvelous what we accomplished. We changed the dropout rate from 75 to 35 in that period of time, just giving them some identity and some pride about themselves and talk about it's all right to be an Indian and enjoy your culture and people talk to you in your language.
At some point, somebody said to you, what Indian problem?
Yes.
What Indian problem?
Because they didn't see it, and it's one of the hardest things to overcome. We had the children play the teacher, the Indian children, and then teachers played the Indian children. The kids then talk like what they thought the teacher was saying, and the teachers just started crying. They didn't realize what they were doing. Yeah. So we stopped that real quick. Taught us a lesson, then we learned from it, because we didn't
know. Absolutely.